what a scene is set before us here this evening in this passage that we have been reading. The Syrian army had been making many travels into the land of Israel. They had started many battles. Many people have been slain. Many places have been destroyed. Many people have been taken captive. And among one of those that have been captive is a little girl. The Bible doesn't give her name. She just calls her that young maid. Now what this young girl saw and what all had happened and how she's there herself, whether she witnessed her mother and father being murdered and brutally murdered or whatever, we do not know. But here we find this little girl, young girl, back in the land of Syria, a captive, a slave. And can I use these words? And providentially placed right in the house of Naaman. And here is she sits there and she sees the armies go out and come in. She sees Naaman go out and come in. And you know, I feel that this man is a man of honour and respect. We'll come to think more of that in a moment or two. But nevertheless, we read concerning this man that he has the disease of leprosy. And here in one occasion, as this young girl is waiting on her master's wife, maybe a conversation is taking place about the illness of Naaman, or of Naaman, the great captain of Syria. And this young girl makes a communication to this woman. And you see what is said there, that he was with the prophet that was in the land of Samaria. She starts to witness and to tell and communicate concerning an individual who could probably help this man Naaman. The story goes on then, how the word gets out and goes to the king. And they all seem to come to this conclusion, this would be a good idea. And we have read how they begin to make preparation to go into Samaria. And it tells us there of all of the great wealth and all of the things that are put together as they make their travel to the king in Samaria. And as they come, they deliver to the king of Israel this letter, which gives him some fright, sets some array in the palace in Israel. And here, not knowing what to do, but providentially again, the word has already got to Elisha. And he says, send him to me. And we've read the story how, again, he gets all this organization together that he's done of all the camels and horses and packages, and off he goes. Right to the very household of Elisha. And standing outside the door, Elisha tells his servant to go out, and he's a message to deliver to Naaman. And he goes out and he delivers the message. It is the response that comes for that message that I would like to put our thoughts upon this evening. And especially two words that are found there in verse 11 of 2 Kings chapter 5. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold. And here's the two words. I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. What words, I thought. Does those words not covered over even in this life that we live in today? How many times have you and I, and many have said, oh, I thought. Oh, I thought if I just had a good night out with the boys, everything would be fine. Never thinking where that would take them. Many a night it ended up in disaster. Never thought it would take that ways. I remember a friend of mine. He was in a rush for a number of years ago, leaving Ballymoney out the Clarratch Road. And he thought he could get to a certain place at a certain time and gone out through one of the little villages. There was a bus stopped, a school bus. And all of a sudden, out from the front of that bus, a young girl steps forth. He never made it to that destination. Oh, for him, life somewhat had to go on. As a result of the accident, the young girl died. And everything he thought fell into insignificance. I thought. How many have said, oh, I thought if I could just get into a marriage, we'd build a home, we'd build a family, and everything would be all right. I thought. Those words, they are coming tumbling over and over and over. I thought. But can I remind you of what the Word of God says in Isaiah 58 and 8? God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What is your thoughts this evening of your life, of your plans, of the week that lies before you, of tomorrow? And did you ever put in amongst those thoughts, I might never see midnight tonight? Can I tell you another true story? Just about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, at the outside, a very good friend of mine, and he's a bit like myself, he's one of those idiots that likes fittering about at mechanical things. And I was getting my car ready for MOT, and he's got one of these lifts in his garage, and we went in and he got the car up and we were working at it. And I says to him, you know, my daughter's car needs to go through the MOT as well. And he says to me, he says, I tell you what, he says, next Saturday, bring you your daughter's car and we'll check it over as well. And we agreed. And I thought, right, next Saturday, I got to mark that day. On Wednesday evening of that same week, at 10:10, my wife receives a phone call to say that that very good friend of mine has just passed away. And everything that we thought the Saturday before, in fact, the Saturday that I was supposed to be with him with my daughter's car, I was at his funeral. I thought. And here is Naaman. And can we just point out just a few things of this man's thoughts this evening? And let us come alongside and take note and think about our thoughts. I think first of all you can see that this man had thoughts of himself. You see how the Holy Ghost even opens up the chapter. You see in the verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the hosts of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable. This man has some CV. This man has some position. What a description is displayed here. What a record is set up concerning this individual. You see his position. He's captain as king of Syria. He's got a very important post. He has got power and authority. For there it tells us that he was a great man with his master. He had this honourable position. He was thought a lot of. That's why his master wrote that letter. He wanted to see that everything could be done. And this is why I even think that this is a man who had respect of his soldiers and of all that was around him. And that's why this young girl, I think she had somewhat of love for this man. That's why she's speaking. You will notice also what it read concerning whenever he was in the region he left. How his men addresses him. His fellow soldiers, they call him father. Well, this man has got respect. He has that character because it even says that he was honourable. He was a trustworthy man. This is a man who had won many victories. Not just throughout Israel, but many of the battles that Syria has been in. And you will notice. You will notice providentially what is said here. Because by him the Lord. Don't miss that. By him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Oh, the Lord had protected. The Lord had allowed these circumstances and situations to come about. He's a brave man. He was a mighty man of valor. Oh, what credentials is describing this man. But then we come to the end of the verse, don't we? But he was a leper. He was a leper. Oh, here's the description of this man. And you can understand why he has somewhat of thoughts about himself. You see his appearance. How the pump that is set up. You see there in verse 5, and the king of Syria said, go now, go, and I will send a letter unto thee, and depart. And what does he take? He took 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And here all of this pump is all set up around this man. What esteem is set forth? In fact, the very presence of this man brings fear. And we've read that in verse 7. Here, whenever all this great crowd comes in to Israel and to the king. Verse 7 it says, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. There is fear that is now struck into the whole political system of Israel at the appearance of this man. And what thoughts? Tell me, what thoughts have you tonight? What argument do you start to build up for yourself? Oh, I'm a Protestant. I go to Garva Free Church. Oh, I like to be charitable. I put my money in the basket. Maybe you're even an orange man. and attend other religious societies. And you can have all the CV and all the descriptions, and you can think of yourself, oh, maybe I'm all right. Remember Naaman. But he was a leper. And after you get all of that descriptions of yourself, but all have sinned and come short the glory of God. Oh, we can put whatever labels and thoughts upon ourselves that we could try to do. May I take you to the Word of God. For example, Psalm 58 in the verse 3. What does God say? The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. That's how God describes you and me. Not thoughts, facts. Psalm 51 and 5. Psalmist certainly got a good description of himself there. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. That's how God describes you and me this evening, regardless of the thoughts that we may have of ourselves. I thought. But you know, things good improves a little here, because you will notice here in that verse 11, not only has he those thoughts concerning himself, but he has thoughts of religion. You see what it says? Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover me of the leprosy. He had religious thoughts. Oh, there's going to be a ceremony here. He will surely come out. We're going to hold a service. And there's going to be all this religious activities. Not only that, he was going to be the center of this ceremony. I thought he would come out to me. See what it says? I'm going to be the center of what I thought. Remember Haman, as was described concerning him. The king had the dream, and he wanted to honor the man that had saved his life. And Haman thought that was him. And he gave out all the things that, oh, and Haman thought he was saying this to be for himself. That he should be put on horseback, and he should be took throughout all the city and all the claims. But he found out it was for another. And as far as Haman was concerned, it was his enemy. He thought. We need to be careful of our thinkings. And we think we go through so much religious activity that all of those things will justify in the end. You see, not only here did he think that there would be a ceremony and that he would be the center of it, but he thought there was things he had to do. There was payments he had to make. You see, all the talents of silver and the pieces of gold, the changes of raiment, that these was going to be the things that he would be given. And the things that he would do. And there's so many today, and they have this thought, that if they go to church and if they do this and they do these other things, oh, and it's religious activity, that should be good enough. Naaman thought the same. I thought. Proverbs 16 and 25, God reminds us there, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. What about you in this service this evening? You think it's enough to go through all the religious activities? When you say, I've said my prayers, I read my Bible. Those things are commendable. And you say, I thought. People of God. You know, this is a day and age as well. We often think about revival. And we pray about revival. Do we understand what revival is? Do we take thought what we're praying for? As we're asking God for revival, and it is good. Are you ready for it? Israel being delivered out of Egypt, that was a revival. God's mighty dealings to redeem his people again out of Egypt. But things got worse before they got better. And that was God's ways. Can you accept God's ways? We read in the book of Acts, wasn't it great, tremendous? 4,000 souls saved, 3,000, 2,000, thousands of people. And we have this mindset, we think. There was people went to prison. There was people put to death. There's costs. Are you ready? Is your thoughts centered upon not for my easement? And so often we have these thoughts. Oh, I want to see all the seats filled. And that is good. We want to see our church prosperous. We want to see the bank account grow. We have all of these thoughts. But even to you and I, the people of God, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, saith the Lord. Are you ready to accept God's ways tonight? Thy will be done. For God to be glorified, the Son of God himself must leave the splendors of heaven, must be born as a babe. The God-man must know what it is to be cared for as every baby has to be cared for. Can you stop a moment and think about that? What it cost the Holy One to bear away your sin, and he's doing this for the glory of the Father. That the Godhead may be glorified. Sunday school teacher, you sit down and you prepare your Sunday for your Sunday school class, and I, those wee rascals might be rowdy at times, but are you doing it for God's glory? Whatever the work that we're involved in, round the doors, have we this aim in mind? It's for God's glory. So often we knock the door. I would like you to come to our church, and in the back of our mind, oh, it'll be another person to fill the seats. Is it not for God's glory? Whether we eat or drink, said Paul, or whatsoever we do all for the glory of God. Is that our purposes? Is that our thoughts this evening? Name and thought. In 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the, nor from your vain conversations received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Sinner, you need Christ tonight. Regardless of all other thoughts, you think upon him. You get to Calvary tonight.
You looked to the God of all glory,
not your religion. And you see, here's this man. And yes, he is religious. It goes further. You'll notice how he goes further there in that verse. Not only has he religious thoughts, but he has thoughts about God. I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and look and call on the name of his God. No, that's not what it says, folks. Do you see what it says? And call on the name of the Lord his God. He's talking about the Jehovah Elohim. He's talking about the covenant-keeping God of Israel. This man knows of this God. This man has knowledge of the God of Israel. And you, sinner, have knowledge of God tonight, don't you? This is not the first time you have sat in a gospel service and listened to about Christ being preached, and you know the story. In fact, you could stand here and tell it just as well as I could. Of the birth and the life and the death and the dyings of the Lord Jesus and the shedding of his blood. But that knowledge in itself will not suffice. And I'll tell you better than that. Not only has he this knowledge of God, but he believes in this God. Why do you think he left Syria in the first place? I'm standing right outside the door of Elisha. You think he went through all of that effort just for the sake of it? This man believed that there was a purpose and that there was a God in Israel and that this God could cure him. But he thought it would be done his ways. And you see the very pride within his own heart and mind there in the verse 12. Are not Arbana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Why there? Why can it not happen in my land? Why can it not happen the way I want it to happen? In my terms, in my conditions. And maybe you're sitting here tonight and your thought says, oh, I want to get saved. I hope to get saved. I'm going to get saved someday, but not tonight. And your thought says, oh, well, somewhere down the line. Can I tell you tonight that the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And you can have all of the belief that you have. And remember James, in James chapter 2 and the verse 19. He says, thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. But listen. Listen to what he says. The devils also believe and they tremble. Hell tonight believes that there's a God in glory. Hell tonight believes that there's a Jesus Christ. Every imp of hell believes something no atheist even claims to believe. They believe in the Son of God. They believe that he lived. They know that he died. They know that he shed his blood. But they're damned forevermore. You need a saving faith tonight. And not just to stop with those thoughts. For here's a man who had a belief in the God of Israel. Paul, as he writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Can I ask you tonight, sinner, is God dealing with you?
I'm not here tonight to play with your emotions, but I'm here tonight to plead with you in God's name. You make sure you're in a right standing with God. For except a man be born again, or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But you know, all of these thoughts that Naaman has had concerning himself, concerning his religion, concerning God, none of them can make any change to his condition. But he has another thought that does make a change for his condition. You will notice what that is. In the verse 13, he gets thoughts of repentance. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet have bid thee do some great thing, wouldest not thou have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, Wash and be clean? Very simple. But you see, these thoughts of repentance comes as a result of some circumstances. These thoughts of repentance comes after words of counsel. These fellow soldiers, we've already said that they've come around him, his servants, and we note again of their approach, my father. And you see here again, his thoughts are taking in what is being said, the counsel that has been given to him. And his thoughts will also take in to what the wee girl had said back there in the land of Syria. And here he is in a rage, storming away from Elisha's house. How dare they? But his thoughts is changing. Is your thoughts changing tonight? And you know another thing. These thoughts of repentance comes after a consideration of self again. You know, you see the call that they said he thought that this man would come out and he'd go through all of this ceremony. What for? That he'll be cured of his leprosy. And can you imagine the scene? Can you just imagine in your mind's eye, here he is in his carriage, in his rage. And he's got this counsel. And he looks at the arm. And he sees that spot. My condition hasn't changed. I'm still a leper. And here, if I go on the way I'm going, I'm going to be abandoned from my home. I'm going to be driven from my family. I'm going to have to live in a barren place and I will die in the stench of leprosy. Have you thoughts concerning your state before God tonight? You can go out through those doors as you come in it, but you'll die in your sin and you'll be lost forevermore. Oh, can you take somewhat of the counsel that is going this evening and give consideration? For here it brings this man to a humility, to a humbleness. And then you'll notice what happened in the verse 14. It brought action. What was that action? He turns that carriage around and he went down to Jordan and he dips 7 times in Jordan. Listen, according to the saying of the man of God. Elisha never even came out to him. That annoyed him. That enraged him. He had these thoughts of all of the things that were coming.
But now they're all set to one side. And whatever your thoughts was of the past, you know, it's a very simple act that God asks of you this evening. Ye who sometimes were afar off can be made nigh. How? By the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood cried out from the ground, vengeance. But the blood of Jesus Christ cries out pardon and forgiveness. I love that text found there in 1 John chapter 1. The verse 7. This verse means everything to me. This is the verse the Holy Ghost gave me shortly after I was saved. I again, being brought up in a Christian home, I had gone through so many religious experiences. And the devil came once again telling me it's just another of your wee prayers. In my lifetime I have prayed the sinner's prayer I don't know how many times. From a boy, right into my teenage years. And I was pleading with the Lord to show me something from his word. In 1 John 1 and 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Listen, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us. Get it? From all sin. That's what the blood of Christ does. Just the same as it was for Naaman. He acted upon the knowledge and what was said. He went down to Jordan. He acted. And at the seventh dip, every spot is gone. He's a newborn. And that's exactly the counsel that is set forth for us there. His skin again was a little child. He was a total transformed man. And every man and woman and young person that has come to God on the grounds of repentance and confession is a completely transformed being. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. God says, I will give you rest. Tell me, what are your thoughts tonight? Maybe you come into this meeting, and you once walked well with God. But tonight finds you far away. Because you centered your thoughts upon other things and the dainties and the fancies of this world. And it's took you down another path and it's took you away from God. Have you thoughts of repentance tonight? Are you sorrowing over your sin tonight? Are you coming to Jesus Christ? For he's promised to give you rest. I can do nothing for you. But he can do everything. Oh, but if I can be of any help, I want to be his servant. I want to serve him. And if you're looking for any counsel and I can be of any help to you tonight, I'm here. Are there some of the elders here? Or is there somebody else that you know? You go and talk to them. But above all, talk to God tonight. Get rest, get peace for your soul. It's found in Christ. And Christ alone.